Tonight on TMSPM, Bread and Crap.
Cranston is Zordon.
Leaving Blink.
Six things Scott needs to remind you about ID4.
You'll thank me for it. Dan, the tabletop man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Oh, wrong one. Hey everybody, welcome back to TMS PM. I turned down the volume on a file that wasn't playing.
Oh, well, that's handy.
It's the PM edition of the show for the 23rd of June, 2016. It's a Thursday evening. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. This is our chance to do the PM edition of the show.
That's right.
Very excited about that.
I am too. I'm sitting here enjoying an Elderflower Angry Orchard hard cider, which you would probably also say tastes like a urinal cake.
Probably. Is it have a fruity kind of flowery thing going on?
As you'd say, it tastes like grandma's neck or something like that.
Yep. Let's see here. Does it have sugar, glucose, syrup, flavor, and colors E131? No?
I don't see that on here.
All right. Does it say colors may have an adverse effect on the attention and activity of children?
No, but this does.
All right. That makes sense. And then finally, does it say produced in a factory that uses nuts?
No.
They don't say how they use the nuts. They just say the factory uses nuts.
Yeah, it doesn't produce nuts, or they just use them to their bend their will.
Yeah, you know. How you want these nuts? I'll tell you how to use them.
Anyone want to buy some used nuts?
Indeed. Speaking of food, so I got a problem and I got to work it out. My wife and daughter are on the Whole30 diet. That's 30 days of nothing but whole foods. Nothing processed, okay. No processed grains, no fakery. It's all like real meat, real veggies, real fruit, that sort of stuff. And about day five, it gets real hard for them. They've both reported headaches, the sugar, the lack of sugar from non-natural sources starts to kick in, and it's like their body's yelling at them.
Get used to that stuff if you've eaten it for a long time. And
correct.
Yeah.
And they're pretty sure that this is how they want to go, and that's great. I'm watching them do it.
Yeah, good for them.
And I thought to myself, you know, I put on like 15 I'd like to get rid of again. Maybe I should do this with them. And I came to a conclusion. I have no self-control at all. And I can't stop eating bread and sugar. And I don't understand why I don't have that willpower.
Just like you take a slice of bread and put some sugar on it?
Well, not...
Maybe not together. Okay.
Like, if you told me, like, hey, Scott, tomorrow go without any bread of any kind and go, you know, like way down on the carbs... And eat nothing but fruit, vegetables, and lean meat tomorrow. I would say right now, oh, that sounds great. I'm totally going to do it. No problem, man. I'll totally do it. And then I can't. I'll get there and I just freaking can't. I'll see a cereal box and just grab a handful of it. Like, I can't do it. I don't know where people get the willpower. It's, you know, if I guess I'm lucky that I have a metabolism that doesn't make me 400 pounds. But if I did, I wouldn't be able to stop. I'd just be Louis Anderson all over here, just flopping around, eating whatever I want, you know? It's frustrating.
Hey, you ever notice that his candy tastes like urinal cakes?
I hear he's on Mark Maron's podcast this week. I want to check it out.
It sounds just like that.
Because that guy cracks me up. but, you know, I don't want to be, just because I can burn a lot of it off, I don't want to be that guy. I want to stop eating crap.
See, the people have got this all wrong. It's not about the abrupt, like, all right, tomorrow, no bread.
Yeah.
It's tomorrow, less bread.
That's hard, though.
Less bread.
But I can't. For me, if I see some bread, I will go get all the bread. Like, I will never stop at one. Like, this is where you win and I lose. This is why you have unfinished boxes or sleeves of Oreos and I don't.
Because I still have the cinnamon roll and the filled cupcake ones here in my drawer.
Those are long gone. Those are forgotten history here.
And most of the Ritter bars. And
you have a better sense of that than I do. You're just better at, like, saying, nope, enough is enough.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. You don't say enough is enough. You say, you know what? I'll have one square of that Ritter chocolate bar today.
How do you stop there, though? How do you not just eat the whole Ritter bar?
You just have to. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, but it's easier than the full stop. You know, I mean, if you basically say, no, I am not going to have any more of these Ritter chocolates, it's a lot easier to say, all right, you know, I've been having four pieces of those Ritter chocolates every day. Tomorrow, I'm only going to have two. And then the day after that, I'm only going to have one. And then I'm only have one every other day.
Yeah. See, look at that, though. That's all structured and smart. I'm just like,
I just know my body. I just know that I certainly couldn't do what they're doing as far as the abrupt whole food thing. It's like, oh man, that'd be great for me, but I just know I don't have that kind of willpower. Really, yeah. It's not that my way is better. Mm-hmm. My way is just easier for somebody with low willpower.
All right. See, I even look at this bag of these Saltaire Rock things that I didn't like at all.
Yeah.
And I'm tempted to eat. No, but I'm tempted to eat more. I mean, it's just, it sucks. I need a book. I need a thing. I don't need a book. I need to just figure this out. I need some willpower. I have so much willpower in other ways. Like in other parts of my life, man, solid as a rock, firm as a rod. Mm-hmm. Let me say that last part different. That's a different, I don't want to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's something different.
But hey, I am.
Do this. Yeah. Put a little rubber band on your wrist.
Yeah.
And then when you are about to reach into that box of cereal and grab a handful, just snap that little rubber band on your wrist. Don't, you know, hurt a little bit, but you're trying to get a little bit of a reaction from
yourself. But that means I have to have willpower about flipping a thing on my wrist, don't I?
Well, yeah, but that's a lot easier than just saying, okay, I'm not going to eat that bag of cereal. It's like a little reminder saying, oh yeah, I'm doing this for a reason.
All right. I'll think about how to improve myself while we knuckle down for some news. Here's the news. Oh, that's the wrong clip. Here you go.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's time for the evening news brought to you by
8-day-old jambalaya.
Oh, I had that for lunch. And that's good for you. That's full of veggies and, you know, it's okay.
Right.
But I ate a lot of it.
Well, I mean, she's not putting anything processed in there. Maybe some, I mean, sausage, I guess technically is processed,
but
right?
It's turkey. She did turkey this time. Turkey sausage.
Oh, see, it's even better. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it has, but see, rice, you're not supposed to eat a ton of rice.
Mm.
And I ate a lot of rice.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever, man. It's just one day at a time. One day at a time. let's read this story here about a man who steals a Porsche here in Salt Lake City. We had a Colorado story this morning. Now we're doing a story about Salt Lake City.
Fair and balanced.
Man steals Porsche worth $1.7 million. It's a 918 Spyder in broad daylight.
Mm.
Either things are getting rough in Salt Lake City or the demand for secondhand Porsche 918 Spyder supercars is really off the charts. Regardless of the reason, a 22-year-old man broke through a dealership's glass front to get his own for free and drove off with it.
Okay.
According to police records, he was seen walking around Porsche of Salt Lake City. It's a place I know. At various times before he actually decided to commit the crime. Crazy enough, it was at 4:30 p.m. in broad daylight before they even closed. That the man identified as Francisco Gonzalez Velasquez. It's a great name.
He's from Michigan,
exactly. Broke the
I think he might be of Asian descent.
He broke the dealership's glass front and made his way to the key safe. He then proceeded to grab the keys to the $1.7 million car and drove it out the front of the building to go for a joyride. Now, I don't know, so this is the article talking, I don't know how much automotive knowledge Mr. Gonzalez Velasquez possesses, but to be able to go through all of the dealership's keys and find the right one, while most people are more likely screaming, alarms are ringing, and the adrenaline is at an all-time high, takes some serious skill. And then he had to figure out how the startup sequence for a Porsche 918 works, which is really weird. It's not exactly a VW Beetle.
It's not put key in the ignition, turn, press gas.
Nope. Not that simple. There's more stuff to do. It is that's $1.7 million. That's not a cheap.
Well, car. I mean, I guess if you're going to do something like this, if you're going to steal this car and you've got a plan, it's not just I'm walking by like, oh, I want that car. I mean, he knew to break through the glass at the dealership. He knew, obviously, he knew what the key looked like, right, to be able to locate it.
Sounds like an inside job, doesn't
either
it?
Either that or, yeah, right.
Or he had special knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mr. Velasquez Martina Navratilova didn't know. I don't know what he did. But the guy's really impressive. Good job there, guy.
Right. That's going to be such a hard car to find, too, because it blends in.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch out for those cars that blend in. Also in the news, we have a story here about Bryan Cranston. You know him as TV's Walter White.
Or as TV's Malcolm Dad.
Yeah, or TV's LBJ. Or TV's Dr.
Oh, yeah, Whatley.
Whatley, the dentist who gets naked with his patients.
Right.
Tim Whatley, that's it. He is playing Zordon in the new Power Rangers movie. Do you know who Zordon is?
I don't know what Zordon is, no.
Zordon, I believe, is... Well, it says here, as if the new Power Rangers movie isn't grand enough on its own, actor Bryan Cranston announced today on Twitter he will be playing Zordon in the franchise reboot, known on the show as the giant and slightly opaque floating head. So he's the big head that they all come to talk to. It gives them advice and tells them where to go and
he's
stuff.
He's the Shredder, not the Shredder. Yeah, the Shredder of...
Shredder?
The Power Rangers. Power Rangers.
Wait.
Isn't Shredder the rat?
No, Shredder is the bad guy. The rat is... Is it Shredder? Chat room, pipe up on this
Pumbaa?
One. It's Pumbaa.
Splinter.
Splinter, that's Splinter. It. Shredder's the bad guy. He's the bad dude.
Splinter, see? I'll tell you that my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles knowledge is only slightly above my Power Rangers knowledge.
They have a lot more in common than I was thinking, though.
And don't ask me about those damn Transformers. I don't know what the hell they are.
I know what's going on there. They are robots in disguise.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Splinter. Okay, so he's the Splinter.
Yeah, he's Splinter.
For the Power Rangers.
If you go down in the old Dalaran, and I guess it's still there until the game gets updated, but the Dalaran that exists in Wrath of the Lich King in the sewer, you will find a rat talking to four turtles.
Four little turtles, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
They have to just move that somewhere else in Dalaran, you know? I mean, I don't care if they're putting the rogue business down there, but they've got to have those guys somewhere else. Yeah, they just got to relocate.
Yeah, why would you not? It was a nice little gesture, even though these new movies are apparently garbage. I haven't seen either one of them, so I don't know. Anyway, Cranston.
Thank you, Grant M06.
There you go. So he'll be an opaque floating head, I guess. He's a galactic sage, the creator and mentor of the Power Rangers, and the adversary of villain Rita Repulsa, who will be played by Elizabeth Banks. Also, great casting.
Yeah.
Nearly all the Rangers are being played by relatively unknown and up-and-coming actors, so these two are kind of your top dogs. This isn't too much of a surprise, considering Cranston has a history with the Power Rangers franchise before becoming international drug kingpin Walter White and hairy, dysfunctional dad Hal Wilkerson. Cranston voiced some of the monsters on the original Power Rangers TV show. Do you remember Snizzard?
No, I don't.
Me neither. That was Cranston, I guess. Because of his popularity on the set, the Blue Ranger was even given the last name Cranston to commemorate the actor's time on the show.
Wow.
That guy put in some, you know, like you always hear about actors that had to really work hard in their early days and just put in their dues or whatever.
Right.
Bryan Cranston, that's your guy. Doesn't hit true mainstream take the world by storm notoriety until he's nearly 50.
Right.
And he spent all these years in the trenches doing voices for Snizzard. Like,
yeah, a little pop, you know, a cameo appearances, or not cameo, like a bit parts. And
Hats off to Bryan Cranston's all I'm saying. And not just the hat who knocks or whatever.
Not just the fedora. Yeah, the black fedora.
Here in the news, we have the news about Tom DeLonge. Or is it Tom DeLonge?
I thought it was Tom DeLonge. Is it not?
Is it Tom DeLonge?
I certainly don't think it's that.
Okay, well, Tom DeLonge.
Tom DeLonge.
He says he has left Blink-182 to investigate UFOs.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good.
Yep. On July 1st, pop punk legends Blink-182 are set to release the band's seventh full-length album, California. Notably absent, of course, is vocalist, guitarist, and founding member Tom DeLonge.
All the space things
are real and are probing me. Since parting ways last year, I didn't know about this. I didn't know they parted ways.
I didn't know either, yeah.
Blink-182 has pressed on with the Alkaline Trio frontman Matt Skiba, replacing DeLonge, while DeLonge has been busy, whatever it is, with what he called, quote, a national security issue. In a new interview with Mike. And it's not a guy named Mike. It's M-I-C. This guy named Mike talked to him.
Mike, yeah, interview. I'm just doing an interview with this guy.
Sure, like you do. His newest endeavor is called Secret Machines, S-E-K-R-E-T Machines. Maybe he should get some spelling tutoring. In a multiple project, or excuse me, multimedia project focused on investigating extraterrestrial life, including searches for HBO's UFOs.
How do you spell UFOs?
HBO. DeLong says he's being gifted or has been gifted with the opportunity to communicate something you've been passionate about all your life. Something that has the opportunity to change the world over time. Being a small part of that is enormously important in my life path. But I can't do everything, he says. I can't tour 9 months out of the year with enough time to do the enormity of what I'm setting out to do, which isn't, turns out, is to check out UFOs. So there you go. It'll be like that guy with the crazy hair on the History Channel.
The guy who goes, aliens.
That guy. He's the best.
I do like that guy.
He's the best.
Yeah.
If we could interview anybody on the show, it would be that guy.
Oh, yeah. By the way, BuzzFeed, good job. In three paragraphs, you managed to say DeLonge 7 times. That's really good.
Thanks for making it so I have to say it that many
times. DeLonge, DeLonge, DeLonge.
So now, this weekend, the opening of Independence Day, I leave you with this important note, okay?
Okay.
These are 6 ridiculous things that happened in the original Independence Day to remind you at home how dumb that movie was, okay?
All right.
Listen.
I'm hoping the aliens were defeated by a HyperCard program is one of them.
Pretty close.
Okay, good.
Actually, I'm not sure they included that one. I have to look at number 6.
Just the fact that their virus upload HyperCard stack had a cancel button. Yeah, hold on a second. Are you sure you want to infect?
Everything about that movie haunts me to this day. And I know there are people that were like 12 years old and loved it. And I know this is subjective and I'm saying good on you for having the thing you love. It's fine. Okay. I just want to remind you what happened in that movie. Number one, there was a part when the military sent a welcome wagon to greet the aliens. Remember that? I have a little clip of it. Here's a little clip.
Right. Welcome wagon, Echo One, approaching alien ship.
They actually called themselves the welcome.
Communications agents, Echo One.
Great.
And they
went. Welcome wagon has commenced.
Here we go. Welcome wagon commencing. And then they get up and show some lights, but don't mean shit.
General Gray, coordinate with the Atlantic Command.
And then they blew him out of the sky. It's garbage. It's bad. It's dumb. It's dumb. Number two, when Dubrow continued to dance in the wake of the invasion. Dubrow being.
Oh, stripper. Yeah, she's Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith.
Correct. Is this how they met? So they met.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So it was after this movie that they got it out.
That they hooked up, I believe.
Then I would also remind you that when the aliens made it rain fire and even auxiliary characters and some plant matter managed to survive. So remember, fire everywhere, nothing but fire on the ground all the time, everywhere you looked, but a dog and a bunch of people survived. And some plants. Good job. That was dumb.
We've filmed psyched this, haven't we?
Yeah, no, we haven't yet, but we want to. So terribly bad.
Yeah.
When the aliens relied on satellite technology to transmit messages, remember that? So they used our stuff, and I'll remind you, here it is. Jeff Goldblum discovers the alien hijacked human satellites to send signals between their ships and synchronize their attacks. But why would extraterrestrials default to inferior technology, especially when they are able to communicate telepathically, as military personnel suggests?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, good point.
Super dumb. Next up, when the aliens failed to consider their spacecraft's vulnerability to viruses, a.k.a. I've got an old power book with a System 7 on it and HyperCard, as here you go is your virus. Take down the entire armada with my shitty notebook.
By the way, quick correction. That was Vivica A. Fox in...
it's not.
It's not Jada Pinkett Smith. I thought that they met on this movie, so I was assuming that was his wife in this movie.
Well, was she the one that was married to the boxer for a while that used to be on that TV show where the guy from WKRP was the principal?
Oh, God, I have no idea. What?
I can't remember. Let's see. It was like...
I think I might even need you to diagram that sentence.
Well, you know, okay, Johnny Fever, right?
Yeah.
He got older and then was...
Oh, yeah, head of the class.
Oh, head of the class. And then she married... Hey, I'm going to fight over here. What's his name? Mike Tyson. She married Mike Tyson.
Joe Pesci, okay.
And then he punched her or something. Who's that girl?
That is, I know who you're talking about. That is...
That's not Vivica.
No, it's not Vivica Fox. That is, oh my God, what was her name?
Michael J. Fox.
Robin Givens.
Robin Givens.
Robin Givens, yes.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Okay.
So what was the movie that they, I could have sworn it was a,
were they a together?
Will Smith movie that,
were they together?
The two of them met. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I wonder what that would be. Let's take a guess. I'm going to say, well, how old is that little brat kid is?
Which one? The older brat kid or the younger brat kid? Willow or Jaden?
Willow or Jaden. I don't remember, but it may have been something like the Ali movie, maybe?
It had to be. I could have sworn it was before Ali, but...
was it the seven...
Because they were in Ali together, and that was in 2001.
What was the one where he was one of them gays?
No, they married in 97.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it was on the set of Will, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
God, might have been.
Could have been.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's hope not. Finally, when Will Smith, Jeff Goldblum, and Randy Quaid make it look like crop dusters and F-18s and alien aircraft are all basically the same vehicles.
Right.
It's garbage.
Yeah,
it's
you good. Press the gas pedal, you steer the thing. No, it was IMDb-ing it. Oh, here we go. Jada met Will Smith in 1994 on the set of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which she auditioned for the role of his character's girlfriend, Lisa Wilkes.
Okay. See?
There you go.
Scott knows nothing.
Scott knows stuff.
Scott knows a thing. I'm going to play this video of him welcoming the aliens to Earth. My least favorite.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Gets out of the ship, sees the tentacles wiggling around, looking ultra realistic. Isn't very loud. Punches it.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth. Welcome to Earth.
All Welcome right. to Earth.
Yep. Good stuff. All right. Just I want to remind everyone that while you go see the already performing poorly critically film Independence Day 2 Resurrection or whatever it is. What is it?
Yeah. You know what? I can't.
I have no desire to see it. I don't care at all about this movie at all.
So you're not going to watch it so that you can talk about it on Hotline Monday?
Nah. I don't
Resurgence
care.
Is what
it is. Oh, Resurgence. There it is. Yep. Resurgence. Found it. Currently at 52%. I mean, you know, I liked Warcraft and that was at 30, so.
Sure. It's doing better than Free State of Jones.
Yeah, Free State of Jones is not doing great. That makes me a little bit sad. Mm-hmm. Looked like a cool post-Civil War Western mix thing with right. McConaughey. All right, all right, all right.
Mm-hmm. Take your money and go see Finding Dory again.
I agree. Finding Dory, 94%. Central Intelligence, 64%. And The Conjuring 2, 78%. Your top three movies are performing well critically and monetarily.
Nice.
Do not go see Now You See Me 2, which is currently sucking. See Warcraft if you're a Warcraft fan. Probably not if you're not. And
I'd even say see X-Men Apocalypse. It's worth saying. If you're like if you're listening to this show, chances are you like comic books or comic book movies. I felt like X-Men Apocalypse was competent.
But it came in such a fizzle. Like, no one cared. Like, isn't that weird? It's weird.
Well, it came in the wake of Civil War, Captain America Civil War, which was so good.
Do you think what's happening here is that Marvel Disney is just making it hard for anything else to do well? Like, it's kind of like, I'm going to save my excitement and time and money for when Marvel does one.
For Doctor Strange or for, right, yeah.
I wonder about that.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to watch The Preacher. That's doing well. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. What is here and there is a song break. We're going to take one of those and come back in a minute with Dan, the tabletop man. And then we got your Twitter questions. So if you haven't got your hashtag AskTMS questions to us yet, there's still time. Though before that, there will be music. You will drink your milkshake. What music do you have?
How about a band named Diarrhea Planet? Sure. How good does that sound?
Diarrhea Planet sounds wonderful.
Diarrhea Planet. Well, it's they released an album called Turn to Gold on June 10th via Infinity Cat Recordings. They were actually on Seth Meyers, Late Night with Seth Meyers, a couple weeks ago. They're really, really good. They're you know, it's just their name. You just got to get past that. They're from Nashville, Tennessee. They're a six-piece group from Belmont University. Yes, there's really a Belmont University.
Wow.
And they're touring all over the place. They're going to be here in Denver at Riot Fest, and that should give you kind of an idea of the song you're about to hear. This is Diarrhea Planet from their brand new album, Turn to Gold. This is Life Pass. We'll be right back.
once again, Brian is not playing crappy indie music. He's playing great music. It's crazy to me how good this stuff is.
Yeah.
You've yet to play poo.
It's just been under our noses this whole time, all this great stuff that we can play and give some great exposure to these bands and all that stuff.
You play no poo.
I play no poo. That is the official statement, the official slogan.
Is you play no poo?
Of Coverville on TMS. I play no poo.
I play no poo.
All right, we're gonna call Dan, see if he'll play some poo.
All right.
Maybe he's got a
he'll
game.
He'll probably win at it, too.
Maybe he's got a game called Playing Poo, or I don't
playing
know.
Playing Poo.
Dan, the tabletop man. What's going on, Dan?
Greetings, programs.
Hey, how are you? What's going on in your life?
Boys, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
There was a game called Poo, and it was also Eat, Drink, You Cat. No, Eat Something, Throw Poo. There was all sorts of poo games out there. Eat Poo, You Cat, or something like that. It basically is. It became other things, like, even games like Apples to Apples, I think, came from games like that.
Really? Eat Poo, You Cat? Is that what
you said?
Yeah,
something like that. Somebody, I'm sure the chat room will remind me. I'm just blanking on a title, but it came from a game called Poo.
All right. Nice. I was trying to find a clip here with your name in it, and I couldn't find one, so I'm going to play this one. You ready? Here we go.
Hey, this is Dan Foley from Survivor Worlds Apart, and you're listening to The Morning Stream with Brian and Scott.
There you go. You're not
Hey, I'm the guy from Survivor that nobody liked because I was rude and arrogant and... And then they brought me back for Heroes and Villains.
That's right. That's the guy.
Guess which one I was. And my hat.
A villain.
I was poo.
Anyway, we're thrilled to have you here. We haven't talked to you in a bit about, what's fun for us to play this weekend on tabletop.
Well, actually, I got a little bit of cool news, because I know you guys are love the 3D printing variety.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find poo? You had that look on
your
face?
No, I was going to say, there's a game I was going to tell you about.
Is that right?
That I heard about, and I bought it just based on the name, because I figured out what the game was based on the name alone. And I plunked down my $14 without even looking at the cards or anything. What's it's it? Called Punderdome.
Punderdome?
Punderdome.
Punderdome.
So you're given, it's kind of like that, that game we've been playing with Nicole for Recommendals, where you're given you're given two cards and you've kind of got to build a little bridge between them. And in that case, with movies.
Yeah, the movie one. What's that called?
Double Feature.
Double Feature, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
With Punderdome, you're given two cards with two topics on it, and you have to make a phrase, come up with a sentence that puns them, basically. So, for example, the example that they have on the Amazon page is sewing and presidents. Mm. And, I might have to adjust this hem so I can fill more of my dress. Or I need to get this dress done so I can get the washing done.
Oh, wow. Like that. Really?
So you're trying to get a pun talking about subject A using a word from subject B.
Yeah.
I bought it instantly because it looks like a blast.
That's awesome. That must be a great party game. I'm so bad with coming up with puns like off the cuff. Usually puns are all unintended right. that I come up with.
Right. Well, the first review on Amazon for this says, great game, but very, very hard. However, shipping was subpar. Who cares, Amazon? Blah, 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 blah.
Let me talk about the shipping.
But he says, we are pun fanatics around here and expected to be pretty good at it. It's much more challenging than we expected, and it's a really good time and really fun. So
great.
Sounds like something Brian would love.
Cool. All over it. Okay, so nice. I'm sorry. You tell us. Your job and tell us about games.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, I was going to tell you something that I came across at work the other day was because I know, Brian, with the whole 3D printing thing,
oh, yeah.
I came across the drug that a doctor had written for, and it was the first drug that's going to be 3D printed.
Whoa. Slow down. You move too fast. Is this like a PLA right out of someone's basement and out of their maker box or what?
Well, it's from a major manufacturer. It's actually a seizure medication that because of the way it's manufactured, that it kind of makes it a little porous and it makes it dissolve really quick in the mouth so you can get a little more rapid acting. You take a sip of water and you put the drug on your tongue. And it's kind of like ODTs, which is oral disintegrating tablets. Those are usually very, very light. This is a little more wafery type or even more tablet-like. And you put it in your mouth and you just take a sip of water. But yeah, they got clearance to use it as a 3D printer because of the way the manufacturing process
is. So it's a printer, though, that uses like... the materials Chuck they're film. Using. It's
Jesse, I told you to get pink filament, not red. I am the one who knocks.
That sword belongs in a museum.
This is a major manufacturer.
Right. So this isn't the heralding in of like custom drugs at home with your 3D printer.
So no, no, no. This is a manufacturer. I'm actually not even sure. Oh yeah, I see what it with drug name. I mean, it's nobody. It's a fairly major manufacturer, but the drug is a pretty major drug used a lot of times for seizures and stuff.
All right.
Is it are they 3D printing it to get into specific shapes, or what's the?
No, I think it's just because of the way that makes it porous and just makes it to be able to be more of an oral disintegrating. Because a lot of times when you're mass manufacturing things in presses, it's probably a little bit more expensive in the presses and a lot harder to make things that do disintegrate like
gotcha.
That.
It makes them work. Those make it more compact and dense. This allows them to kind of do a little lattice kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking that part of it might actually be a little gimmicky. But part of it might also be because of the drug delivery system.
Yeah, to give your drugs a more airy feeling than they had before.
Sure.
And what they can also do is mask the taste of what normally some of these meds would taste like, and they can put some of that in there, and it makes it a little more appealing to the palate.
Is that particular one you take right when you're having a seizure, or is it a preventable?
No. This is one you got to have you got to have the levels in your system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, those are pretty rare, the ones that you're taking when you have seizures. Those are usually things like diazepam, things like Valium and stuff like that. They have some of the rectal gel and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, hold on a second. So if I...
you just triggered Scott.
Trigger word.
Hold on a second. If somebody you know...
The Bucturian candidate
so I could go out with... Let's say I'm just hanging out with a friend who's coming to town. We're like, hey, let's go grab dinner while you're here. Okay, sounds good. I'll meet you at the sushi place. And you're in the middle of it and he says... All right, just so you know, I kind of once in a while have these seizures. It's rare, but when I do, there's a medicine in my wallet here. You can just pull that out and use it. Oh, okay, cool. I'm thinking it's some oral thing or eye drop or whatever. Nope. Right. When he goes down and starts flopping on the ground, I need to pull out a rectal gel and put it up his bum to save him.
That's got to be harder.
I'm crying over here.
I can't do it.
It's got to be harder than shooting a photon torpedo into a moving Death Star.
They That's usually for children and for severely handicapped people with status epilepticus, that they have them a little more often. And the only real way to get them under control is to use these rectal gels. And a lot of times they're in these things. They kind of look like big pencils or big syringes. And actually, what's pretty cool, these things can be dialed up specifically for different patients. So actually in a pharmacy, when you get a script form, you have to actually dial them up and then you click them into place to give the specific dose. But yeah, they're rectal gels. Like,
wait,
I can only imagine seeing your buddy's got, hey, what's that in your pocket? You got a pencil? Nope, right, rectal gel. It's right here.
Yeah, stand by. I might need that.
I can't even freaking imagine it. All right. Anyway, give him the old Dr. Poker there with your...
And that's when I stopped being Mike's friend.
That's right. We never went to dinner again.
I was going to invite Dan over for the next for the next cookout, but, you know, last time he was over, I had to stick something up his butt.
That's terrible. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I feel bad for anyone who has to deal with that, yes, I guess is what I'm saying. All right, so
we got some games. I went to Origins last week, and I had just an absolute fun time. A game that I really want to talk about because, last at Nerdtacular, some of the things that were real popular were those social games, things like The Resistance, Werewolf, and actually Bang the Dice game. This is actually a game, and here's the box for you guys. It's called Dead Last. It's from Smirk and Dagger Games. Right. It was a ton of fun. This is a game you can play from like 6 to 10. It's either 6 to 10 or 6 to 12. But you can play with a ton of people. It's even easier than any of those other games. So everybody's got a person. You're basically a color. So let's just say I'm Mr. Orange. Scott, you'll be Mr. Blue. And Ibbit, you'll be Mr. Pink. Okay. So basically around
I
a
like
table.
To be Mr. Pink. Do we choose our own names?
Do you like to be Mr. Pink?
No. We tried that one time and we got all messy.
That means you'll be my friend back there in the chipper then at the end of this.
Sorry. Yeah. So what happens is everybody's got a deck of cards of everybody that's playing. So you see those cards like Mr. Green, Mr. Gray. So everybody that's playing, you have a deck, a card in your deck. So basically what happens is everybody's got their card in front of them. And now we're kind of looking at each other. So I'm kind of giving Ibbit one of these, kind of, you know, nod my head saying, hey, we're gonna shoot Scott. So, you know, you're trying to do all these things. You get about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Everybody's kind of looking around. Then you put your card face down. And then at the same time, everybody flips up the card. And then whoever has majority, they're dead. However, other people may not have gotten the picture, so that maybe me and Ibbit voted for Scott, but maybe Spag voted for Ibbit, and Scott voted for somebody else. So everybody that voted for somebody else is dead, and the only people that are left are the people that had the majority vote. And what you're basically trying to do, you're all, you know, it's kind of like a Tarantino thing. You're trying to get these, there's four, every round there's four gold bricks in the middle. They have numbers from like 2 to 5 or something. You're trying to get 25 points. So what happens after that? Now, also, let's just say Scott, like, he figured it out because he's pretty smart. he figured it out that all of us are in on it to kill him. Mm. So you can play, everybody's got a card that says ambush on it. Mm. So when you play the ambush card, if you're the one that has majority against you, not only do you not die, you get to kill one of them. You get to pick one of them to get killed. So he's going to look at me and Ibbot and be like, "Oh, sorry, Dan. See ya." So happens is you kind of wheel down it, and they're really fast. So even with elimination, the rounds go really fast. So what happens is towards the end, if you get down to just two people, you have these cards. They'll say like steal, share, grab the money and run. So you're playing what's called prisoner's dilemma. So you're kind of discussing. Me and Ibbot will be like, "All right, so let's just share. If we both flip over the share card, then we'll both get two of the bricks. They're random, they're upside down, so we would each get two. But if I put share and that jerk Ibbot puts like steal, he would probably, I think I have to look the rules, but I'm pretty sure he gets them like all.
Right, so it's like the dilemma. Right. Either you share if both people say share or steal. Yeah, so it's kind of like that.
If we both put steal, I think we get like nothing or something. There's a little chart that has all the different combos, but just totally a lot of fun. It's just you're trying to like lead people in one direction, but then sometimes screw them over. You're showing like the person next to you a card that you say they're gonna do, but then you're actually killing them instead. So I mean, just Smirk and Dagger has knocked it out of the park. They're known for these really quirky, you know, screw your neighbor type games.
I'll tell you what I'm into here is the art style. I really like this kind of comic book art thing they got going. Mm-hmm.
It's really some funky art. At first I didn't like it, but then like the more you look at it, it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's wow, that's cool. Actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that stuff a lot. That's totally my brand of cool.
So I'm going to bring this up to BlizzCon when we get out there. So I think this will be a good fun late night game for us because it'll fit in a suitcase pretty easy. Good pocket length game.
I'm going to take that as a confirmation that you're coming to BlizzCon then.
Oh, I got tickets.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. I'm in, baby.
All right.
Now I just got to find a place to hang my head at night.
Somewhere to crash after all the fun. Yeah.
Yep. Well, so I got one more for you.
Yeah, yeah.
This is actually, this is rare that I do this, but this is one that's on Kickstarter right now, but it's cheap and it's a ton of fun. It's great just for small. You can play it with family or you can play it actually with gamers. It's called Rocky Road a la Mode.
It's by
Green Couch Games. All right. It's only like $20. I'm going to put a little thing in here for you guys in that chat.
It's already funded, so right now you're just guaranteed to get it if you back the project.
Exactly. And basically you're competing as ice cream truck drivers. And you're trying to go around and fulfill orders. So you've got these cards. Different cards will take a little bit more time. If you might have a card that says 3 and you move up on a time track 3, and that's to attract customers to your truck. And then you have other cards. You're kind of doing like Ticket to Ride style where you're drafting cards and then you're laying cards down to fulfill orders. And then each card has like two or three orders on them. And then once you fulfill them, you may get a special power, which means maybe you get one of the blue popsicles for every order through the game, or you may just get straight points. Just a really quick, really fun game. And you just kind of, and what's really interesting is if you take more time up, you know, you play a card that has 3 time, you don't get to go until you're the last person in line. So if maybe Ibbot's doing one action to grab one card, he only moves up one, and then I have to wait for him to catch up back up with me, so he gets to play one of those cards, or maybe he's fulfilling an order for 2, and then finally now he's on top of the stack and he gets to go again. And once he's in front of me, then I finally get to go. So you really got to watch your time usage and figure out which ones you want to, you know, which contracts you want to fulfill. And just a fun, great art by Adam McIver and just a fun game by Green Couch Games.
That seems cool. Totally. Yeah.
It's only like $20.
Also, their logo's awesome.
He does some great art, Adam McIver. He's one of the up and coming really good artist in the board game industry.
Is he, or is this, so you say it's only $20, but if you didn't get it on the Kickstarter, can you still, even though, I see.
It's still going on. Yeah, you got about another almost four weeks to go.
Gotcha.
I thought people can get into it, because I bet it's probably going to be $25 maybe at retail. Mm-hmm. This is $19 now. Shipping is free in the U.S. Canada, I think you got to pay a few bucks. Then the world is, you know, shipping blows, so the rest of the world kind of gets screwed, but there's not really a whole lot people can do, because shipping just stinks.
I'll bet my kids would love this game.
And for $5 more, you get a bonus game.
What's the bonus game?
Rocky Road Ice Cream.
No.
Yep. That was made by Nat Levan, who is a good game designer, and I saw him. I didn't get the chance to play this. The dice part with Nat. But that's he's a good game designer, and it's just throw some dice and have one card. So
yeah.
And that's a ton of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these. I've got plenty of more games, but that'll be for the future.
That's for another time, it turns out. Dan, it's always a pleasure. Where can people find more Dan the Tabletop
Check
Man?
Me out at Geek Jock Blog or the Geek All Stars podcast. Mm-hmm. You can check out Geek All Stars. Next week, we're going to be recording our Origins recap. Mm. So check that out.
And then you're in Overwatch and you see a guy playing a lot of Bastion or somebody just shooting.
Well, usually, at least these days, May. I hate to be labeled as a Bastion player, but I'm a May, Bastion, Torb. I always kind of fill a little bit of anything in there. And
support is where you'll find Dan in lots of games, I feel.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for some more Team League, man.
Let's play right now. Let's play right now. All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon. See you later. Whoops. I hung up on Brian. Gosh dang it. You know, when you hit the big main hang-up button, that gets rid of everyone. Just so you know, Brian, for future reference, don't hang up on everyone because I'm a dumbass. All right.
Tristan played a game of Overwatch the other day where they were all Mays, and it was they were joking that it was the May America Great Again, and everybody was putting a wall around everything.
Nice.
A nice wall around everything.
That's perfect. Yeah, in fact, I'm surprised there haven't been more May memes where she's wearing like Make America Great Again hats and putting a wall up and making Genji pay for it or whatever.
Right.
Here's some of this here.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
The newest tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
That guy on Twitter lied.
Twitter questions, they come to us at the AskTMS hashtag every Thursday afternoon. This is what we do. I'm making it sound like it's a name, like it's a problem.
We've warned you about this.
I told you all about this before. So we got some questions, and I'm going to share them with you now. Brian, here's one from Peter Fisher.
Bring it on.
He's often a caller.
Peter Fisher, who knows when to put his AskTMS question in so that it's the first one we read every week.
Indeed. He says this, with all the reboots of the 80s and 90s kids programs with A-list actors, who would star in a live-action Captain Caveman, which isn't actually happening, but who would be?
Zach Galifianakis.
Perfect. Nailed it. He is Captain Caveman. I don't have anything to add to that. That is exactly right.
Captain Caveman.
I'm telling you, people should be watching that Voltron. It's badass. It's real good. Pablo says, let's see, do you think that people will still be interested in the MCU after Downey and Evans eventually leave? Yeah, I think they'll still be interested.
I think so. I mean, because they're going to have Paul Rudd probably. It's going to be this constantly evolving set of A-list actors, right?
Sure.
I don't think they Anthony Mackie.
I don't think they just add. I think they go different paths with who's Captain America now, not like here's a new Steve Rogers actor. They may, but I don't think
they will. Thinking they just take that, you know, the Avengers just evolves into not Steve Rogers, you know, not Captain America and Iron Man anymore. It's Don Cheadle and Anthony Mackie and Paul Rudd and people. I'd still watch.
Oh, of course you would. Of course you would. So would I. Like, that's one of the things I like about Super Team, especially the Avengers. The Avengers is always swapping in and out. They have high turnover.
Right. Very high turnover. Low energy, high turnover.
Yeah, not a fan. All right, next up. John says, tacos or burrito and why?
Burrito, because you can eat a burrito in the car. You cannot eat a taco in the car.
Soft taco would be the only exception, but I agree with Brian. I can do a soft taco in the car.
You're still going to get lettuce all over the place.
You think
cheese.
So? Maybe.
You have to turn your head to eat a taco. Why do we have to bend to the food's will and not have the food bend to our will?
That's right. We're at the top of the food chain, damn it.
That's right. It's the definition, the very definition of food chain.
Indeed. let's see, what's this one? Okay. Ryan H., here's one for you. My hair is starting to thin out on top. Shave it and embrace baldness, or hang on to my long but thin locks while I can.
Oh yeah, nothing worse than watching somebody try and cling to those last few wispy strands of hair in the front. And shave it, embrace the freedom.
Yeah, plus he has an avatar on Twitter that's just the egg still. That's your sign. You got like a bald
look
egg.
No further than your own avatar.
Yeah, you've got Brian's avatar basically. Katie Talmo, who has sometimes been into the show, says, have you listened to the most recent Trivia Geek show? What are your thoughts on cement dip? I have not, so I have no idea what that is. Cement dip? Ugh.
No idea, but I do need to listen to it. I hear Hammond was subbing in recently.
I'm sure that went great.
I need to check it out. I don't have time to listen to a lot of podcasts. When I was laying in the hammock, I was catching up on an episode on Where I'm At episode-wise about 3 weeks ago on the 500 by Midnight podcast, which is the Las Vegas podcast that I listen to. And that's it. That's all I got time for, people.
I listen to podcasts when I run, and I'm always behind even then. So how we think we're so cool that we can do five episodes a week and think you guys are keeping up is beyond me.
Well, they're not. You know how they can keep up? Because they're not doing five freaking podcasts a week.
Good point. Baloney Ninja says, just letting you know, most Star Wars names were created by the West End Games in the 80s for tabletop RPGs and not George Lucas. I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he says. Baloney Ninja, though, that's a name I'm not sure I trust. Baloney Ninja.
Baloney Ninja.
That's either a guy who's full of crap, because my dad used to always say, baloney, Donna. Like if my mom said something and my dad would just go, oh, baloney, Donna, he'd say. And that meant she was full of it, right? Or whoever he was talking to. These days, Baloney Ninja sounds like somebody who steals the baloney.
Right, right. He sneaks in, takes the Buttig right out of the fridge, and tiptoes away.
Plays hide the salami. Wait a minute, different game. All right. Cover Cat says, yesterday I saw Mrs. Coverville reading this book. What do I do now? And the book is How to Tell If Your Cat Is Plotting to Kill You. New York Times bestseller.
This is funny because, and I don't know if Cover Cat, the person who helps do the translating for Cover Cat.
Yeah.
I don't know if she knows, but we do actually own that book, and it's in our front room in our living room, and I could actually go and retrieve that right now if I had to.
You could.
I think that, Tina's just trying to be aware, trying to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Awareness is what matters. So Cover Cat, calm down.
That's right.
Bury your shit and eat your food.
It's funny. I can pick up Inara and, she just purrs and bats her little eyes and stuff like that. Tina can do exactly the same thing I do. Holding her the same way, picking her up the same way. And Inara will just like swat at her.
Oh,
it's like, bah, 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 bah.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
All right. How about this one? Here's one for you. This is kind of sad. Stumpwater Jack says, we buried my grandma today and we are having the wake at a Mexican restaurant. There are guitar players here. Any song recommendations?
Oh, jeez.
We're going to miss you, Grandma. We're going to miss you. Something like that, maybe? I don't know. Do you have any good...
Was it you that was telling me about the mariachi band that says, dollar song requests, right? They had a little sign with them. Mariachi band, Mexican restaurant. They're walking around with a sign that says dollar song requests.
No, and I don't remember this. That sounds amazing.
And somebody says La Bamba, and they flip the sign over and says $20 to play La Bamba. I can't remember who was telling me that story.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. It wasn't me, but I love that.
Yeah, so don't request La Bamba.
Oh my gosh, that's so great.
Or Paloma Blanca, I'd say, what's a good...
Aye, not that one.
Yeah, I mean, at a wake, that's the tough part.
I'd want to do like Smells Like Teen Spirit or something weird, but with like a mariachi sound.
Yeah.
And it sounds like if any indication here that your grandma's wake is at a Mexican restaurant, something tells me she was a fun lady.
Yeah, that's true.
So right, have some fun with it. Don't be
that's
sad.
That's making me hungry for Mexican food.
Me too. Oh, yeah. Bring me a taco.
Just some chips and salsa.
Have you guys ever considered, ask Dale James Perry, man with three names, have you ever considered having a science geek segment? The answer is yes. However, it never took because we didn't know where to put them. We're all out of slots.
Mm-hmm. We're all out of slots.
People are always
got
asking.
Got nowhere to put them.
People are always like, hey,
they'll have to call in or ask TMS.
People are always like, hey, can I come on and do like a Warhammer 40K painting segment? And which I think is super cool. But the answer is usually no, because unless someone falls out, we don't have anybody falling out. Like every day, with the exception of PM. Well, no, even PM has a slot full every day.
Yeah. So, I mean, we even have to rotate in PM. We got Garrett and...
And us doing app reviews.
Us doing app reviews and Dan Tabletop Man. So,
That's right.
I certainly don't want to go up to, Chin Beer and say, hey, you mind skipping out every other week so we can get a science segment?
Mm-hmm. And that's I like science. Science is great. Mm-hmm. Science has the whole world on a plate.
Maybe if we do should we have a Patreon level where we add a sixth show?
Oh Lord, just to accommodate a science segment? I don't know, man.
$10,000. If we hit $10,000, we will do a science. We'll add one more show and we'll have a science segment.
Oh, good news. Monday, speaking of Patreon people, Monday we'll have the official details. I can tell you, though, a little hint, though.
Oh, cool.
Over the weekend, keep your eye on the Patreon page, because if you are a patron, you'll be notified of the new TMS membership cards that are coming and the monthly collectible card that you can only get by being a TMS patron. Details soon as to who gets it, what level, and all that. And I'm happy to report some of the lowest of levels gets it. So it's not like we're reserving this for some highfalutin level, okay? Everybody from the bottom. We've started at the bottom, now we're here, as the popular song goes.
Nice.
Anyway.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
More on that soon.
I even got to see a little preview of the membership card.
Oh, yeah. I sent you a little pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
Senk Yoshi wrote in, says, this will be our last one, says, do you think Romney could have beat Trump in the primaries? Did he run in the wrong election year? The answer is a very biased yes. I think Romney would have won, but he would have to have his current attitude toward Trump and be willing to just say what's what. And I think he would have won. And let me tell you right now, people have asked, well, who are you going to vote for? You hate Trump so much. Who are you voting for? And my answer is, I would vote for Romney in a heartbeat.
Right.
In a New York second, if he ran. If he was running and was, let's say he was against Trump or against Hillary, I don't care where he's at in the thing, I'd vote for him over any of these people. I'd vote for Kasich over any of these people. And I would vote for, who was the other person I liked? Not O'Malley. Rubio? O'Malley was barely there.
Did you like Rubio?
Rubio, without all of the direction and the everybody pushing him around, telling him what to say and when to say it, just raw Rubio.
Yeah, if we got Twitter Rubio, then
yeah, for sure. I'd vote for raw Rubio over freaking Trump. Ready? Kidding?
Here's the follow up question that nobody's asking. So Mitt enters the race or entered the race, right?
Let's say that happens. Yeah, let's say it's possible that happens for somehow.
Okay. What is Trump's nickname for him?
Moron Mitt.
Moron Mitt.
Or Wrong Romney. That seems more Trumpy, doesn't it?
It kind of does, yeah.
Wrong Romney is what
wrong, no, it's too hard to say. It needs to be something Mitt. Like, it needs to be blah, blah, Mitt.
Maybe he'll just spell it Mitt wrong me.
Mitt wrong me? I think you're far more clever than Trump would be. It's going to be like...
Shit Mitt. I don't know. I don't know what he would do. But I would vote for him over any of this stuff going on right now on either side. In a heartbeat, you guys. In a freaking heartbeat. You want your successful businessman? There you go. How about a nice guy who actually thinks about stuff other than being a dick all the time? There's your guy as well. He's a nice guy. Does he not match your left more left leanings? It's okay. He'll end up gravitating to the middle. It's going to be way better than any Trump bullshit we end up with. Or Hillary, for that matter. I'm telling you.
Anal gel mitt.
Romney 2016. Let's do this. All right. That's it for those. Thank you guys again. Ask TMS is the hashtag. You can go to help us, support us, and keep this fifth show running at patreon.com/TMS. For those listening live, congratulations. You've heard the show. If you want to get it later, it shows up tomorrow on the feed.
You just won an achievement.
Big thanks to Alpha Geek Radio and DiamondClub.tv for hosting the streams. Frogpants.com/TMS for all your needs, including our phone number, our email address, our Twitter accounts. It's all on the website, frogpants.com/TMS. Go there and rate us on your podcast directory places that you go. Google Play, freaking iTunes, wherever you're going.
Yeah, give us ratings. You know, we never do. You remember how we used to read those all the time? Well, how podcasters used to read the iTunes reviews all the time?
Oh, yeah.
I remember you and Randy doing that on the instance all the time.
We did. You go to Podcast Alley and see what folks are saying. but no, you're right. That used to be a big thing. And people don't do it as much. But
I mean, we read them. We just don't read them out loud.
Yeah. And it still matters. It still makes a huge difference. And it gives us rankings and things that we need. So thank you all for doing all that you do. Let's get out of here. I need some music, though, or else I can't go on. So what do you got?
Well, Ted from Sweden wrote in, but he goes by Salix in the tadpool. That's T-Z-A-L-I-X. Take it as directed. Hello, Scoot and Boot. It's been a rough couple of months since I lost my dear friend and cousin in a car accident back in January. Here comes the tweet from Bob Pedersen. Thank you, by the way, for the song you played for him on the show. It's my 22nd birthday on the 23rd of June, and you guys have inspired me and kept me going through all sorts of hardships ever since I was 14 and discovered the instance. Thank you for everything you do, and keep it up. Black Ingvars is a Swedish metal cover band that do everything from kids' songs to ABBA. They did an album in 2000 called Kids Super Hits, which is all rocking covers of pop songs in English. I prefer Livin' La Vida Loca or Mambo No. 5, but anything from that album would be cool. If that's not possible, anything with a connection to Sweden would work. Well, Ted, I'm happy to say I'm pulling something right from that Black Ingvars Kids Super Hits album. I always wondered why that thing was called Kids Super Hits. It did seem like a bizarre title for a Swedish heavy metal cover album.
Mm, that is very weird. Also, here's some Swedish.
Swedish.
There you go.
Is that Wendy?
Yeah, I don't know what from, but.
Follow that with sausage, by the way.
Why not? I don't know where that one is. Oh, yeah, I do. Hold on. I got it right here.
Sausage.
Yeah. Add your favorite sausages.
Sausage.
Sausage. Belmont. All right. So let's go with his request. Livin' La Vida Loca, originally by Ricky Martin, who unfortunately does not know. He claims to be Spanish, but he obviously doesn't know the Spanish word for living. This is performed by Black Ingvars from their Kids Super Hits album. Here is Livin' La Vida Loca.
Black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition. That girl's gonna make me fall. She's into new sensations. New kicks in the candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dance. City in a fucking cheap hotel. She took my heart and she took my money. She must have slipped me a sleeping pill. She never drinks the water and makes you order free champagne. Once you let it taste of her, you'll never be the same. If you make it go insane, upside inside out.
Yeah!
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.